today, the Lord gave me this thought, the perfect gift. And I want somebody to read James 1 and 17.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
You see, that scripture says every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. And it said there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. The Lord is consistent. He's not one that he's going to be one way today and something else another day. There's no turning, no change. And so he gives the perfect gift. It comes from above. And I thought about it. What is the perfect gift? The perfect gift is salvation. Salvation is the perfect gift. God has given it to us. We have a privilege to be able to partake and receive a perfect gift. I was thinking about gifts. Sometimes people will give you a gift. You may and may not like it. Doesn't seem so perfect to you. But when God does something, it's perfect. There is no change, no amount of imperfection in what God does. So his salvation is perfect. And I was thinking about how sometimes we do get gifts and we like them very much. We'll say, this is the perfect gift. It fits me. I had a gift for Christmas. It was a scarf, and it was in my favorite color. And to me, I thought, this is the perfect gift because I'm cold natured, and I like to have something that keeps me warm. And I love purple. You can give me almost anything in purple except a car. I don't know if I want a car. But I like purple so much. And then not only that, it was light. Sometimes you might get blankets and they might be the perfect color, but they may be too heavy. And for me, anything too heavy is kind of difficult. So that was to me like a perfect gift. But it doesn't compare to salvation. Salvation is the perfect gift. Salvation has eternal value. These things of this life is going to pass away. When I leave off the scene, some of these things that I think are so nice, my children and grandchildren probably just throw them away and say, I don't know why grandma liked that, or something like that, or this isn't worth keeping, you know. But salvation isn't like that. It's a gift that we can take with us. I have to leave everything. Like Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I go out thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's the way it is. We didn't come here with anything, and we won't be able to carry anything with us but salvation. Salvation is something that's eternal. So it's the perfect gift. Let's go to John 3:16-17.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, for that the world, but but that the world through him might be saved.
You see, he gave his son. He gave his son so that we could have salvation. That was the gift. The gift of his son is how we are able to have salvation. So we have the gift of his son, and his son gave his life, and the gift of salvation. What a privilege it is to be saved. I wish there was some way that I could impart to people that are not saved what they're missing. They're missing out on the best gift. No matter what they can give you in this life, can't be any better than salvation. Ephesians 2 and 8.
Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
See? Salvation is the gift of God. We didn't even deserve it. We didn't pay for it. Jesus paid his life for it, that we might have it. And he gave it to us freely. He gave his life freely. And so it is the gift of God. You know, I don't know, some people love getting gifts. I love giving gifts. But anyway, this wonderful gift, we need to cherish it. Don't take it lightly. Don't live half-heartedly. I live for the Lord today. Tomorrow I'm kind of slacking up, all that. No, but let's treasure it. It's a treasure. It's like a hidden treasure. It's hidden from those that are not saved. I guess that's why it's hard to convince people. But one scripture said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If we just taste of his salvation, we'll never regret it. I believe a person that's not saved and they really taste salvation, they really get a good hold on the Lord, they will look back and regret and wonder, why did I wait so long? What was I thinking about? This is wonderful. Our thought today is the perfect gift. And we're wanting us to see the value of salvation as the perfect gift that God has given us, and that it came down from God above. As scripture said, every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. But I can read it if you don't feel like singing it. Salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. My soul can never cease to sing, such love and peace abound. So I want us to look at that. Salvation is the sweetest thing. It's wonderful to be saved. If we could go out and shout it on the housetop and let everybody know, of course we wouldn't do that. It would look kind of like we lost our mind. But if we could just let people know, salvation is so wonderful. Salvation is omnipotent, combined with love supreme. Come down in pity so intense to rescue and redeem. See, it came down from above. And it came, he provided this for us to be redeemed. Redeemed, brought back into favor with God. When we live a sinful life, we are not in favor with God. You know, I hear people a lot of time, they're not saved, but they'll be saying, oh, I'm praying for this, or I'll pray for you and all this. But you're not really going to get those prayers. God may have mercy, but to get your prayers through, we need to live something. We need to live for God. So it said, to rescue and redeem, we needed redemption. We were in an awful state before we got saved. But now he has redeemed us. Salvation flows from Father's heart, a stream of holy love. It covers me with glory bright and wings my soul above. Oh, my soul will go above because of salvation. It's so much we're going to get. This perfect gift, it will supply all that we need to be able to make heaven. Salvation is a perfect plan. It heals the saddest one who seeks the Father's boundless grace through his beloved Son. It's a perfect plan. You know, when people are not saved, they're seeking something. A lot of times they don't know it, but their soul is seeking after God. And they drowned it with alcohol or drugs or cigarettes or all kinds of things they do it because they are seeking something. But if they could only grasp the fact that salvation will heal them and set them free, and it will satisfy. And so the last verse said, salvation, oh, that word so great. It thrills my heart with joy to see it is the richest, rich estate no foe can e'er destroy. So salvation is rich, and it puts you in a rich estate with God. So now let's go on and read Acts 4, 10, and 12. But we need to realize that salvation was made possible through Jesus. We know that. But we can refresh our minds of how good what we have on hand is wonderful. Sometimes we have some nice things that's been given to us, and we might, a gift, we might put it on the shelf, and we'll look at it for a while, and we'll enjoy it for a while. Then it kind of gets old to us. Maybe a little dust gets on it. We don't want salvation to be like that for us. We want it to be fresh and renewed every day. We don't want to put it on the shelf, so to speak, and let the dust get on it. Dust the dust off of it, and let's be revived and be inspired for what a wonderful gift we have in our heart. Acts 4, 10, 12.
Acts 4 and 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Jesus is the only way. They had worked a miracle, the apostles, and that man was whole, but it was through Jesus. It's through Jesus that we have salvation, and we also have access to him in such a way that we can depend on him to heal us when we're sick and when we have problems and when if we have depression and all these kind of things, there is healing in Jesus. Isaiah 53, 4 to 6. There's a song that says there is healing in Jesus. There's a balm for each pain. And the heart that was broken can be made whole again.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
That's very important to realize that Jesus bore our sins. And we were not really worthy. We were like sheep gone astray, turned to our own ways, doing our own thing, so to speak. And the Lord just laid our iniquities upon Jesus, and he bore it for us that we could have this great gift, this perfect gift of salvation. Titus 3:3-6.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
So we see how that each time we read, we realize how we were. We were not fit. Sometimes you can give a gift that you say, well, they really don't deserve it, but I'm giving it. Or you might give a gift and say, they have done very well, so I'm giving this gift to them. But that was not our case. We had not done very well. We were sinners doing, participating in various kinds of wrongs. But because of God's great love to us, he gave us this of his son, that we might be saved regardless, even though we weren't worthy of it. Now, we want to think about how can we get this great salvation? We know, most of us on here know, but we want to reiterate anyway how we can get, and we can be able to obtain it. But when we obtain it, this gift, we want to maintain it. Like I was talking about, some gifts you just take and you put it on the shelf or in a drawer or something. You know, you look at it for a while, you're enjoying it, and then you put it away. But that's not what we want to do with this great salvation. We want to recognize what it took to get it and then to maintain it. Let's go to Acts 16:29-31. What did it take to get salvation? How did we get it?
Okay, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
There's no other way. You see, what was happening here is Paul and Silas was in prison, and the jailer in jail, and the jailer was there. He was responsible for them. If they escaped, he would lose his own life. But while they were in prison at midnight, they were singing praises to God. These brothers had salvation, and their salvation helped them to sing and sing praises to God in spite of being in jail. So then the earthquake came, and every man's bounds bind, all their shackles and things were loosened. When he woke up and saw it, he thought these men, that was it. They were going to, they had escaped. But when he found out, Paul said to him, do yourself no harm, because he was getting ready to take his life. We're all here. Then he came and knelt down and said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe. They told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be saved in his house. And that's what happened. He got saved that night through their act of praising God. But that's what it takes. It doesn't take if shaking the preacher's hand, like some people say, think, or what, you know, but it takes a real belief on Jesus Christ, so much so that we are willing to give up and give over to him. Romans 10:6.
Romans 10:6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
They work together. You believe and you confess. You're going to believe in the Lord Jesus, and then you confess that he raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's, I believe that when a person gets saved, I notice a lot of times these days, people go to the altar to get saved, and then they go to their seat. Sometimes you wonder, did they get saved? But it says, you believe with your heart, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's a good thing when people go to the altar and they get saved to acknowledge that I've been saved. I repented. You don't have to say I repented, but you can say I thank the Lord for being saved. We should not stop doing that, because the scripture says to believe with your heart, and it also said with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Acts 2:37-38. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Right. So they were pricked in their hearts. They realized they needed something. So they didn't know exactly what. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? When you get to that crossroad, and when you get to that place, and you realize you need help from God, what shall you do? It says, repent. Repent. Repent means to be godly sorrow. It means, go to 2 Corinthians 7:10. It's going to explain a little bit about, repentance. Repent of your sin. Be sorry for your sin. It just a little light, you know, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me for my sin, is good, but you need to be serious enough to be sorry for your sin. Ask him to forgive you, but be sorry that you did it and you don't want to do it again. Did you get that 2 Corinthians 7?
Again, for God is sorrow, working repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death.
Okay, just that scripture, because we're gonna read more later, I think. But anyway, godly sorrow. See, sometimes people get sorry because they didn't, they get caught, you know. You pin them in a corner and they're sorry enough, you know, because, you know, they got caught. That is the sorrow of the world. But when you look at the things you're doing and you become really sorry for what you're doing and you ask God to forgive you because you're sorry for what you're doing, then you'll have true salvation. There'll be a change. I think in that same scripture, it says something about your change. I don't know. Well, read on and see if it is the one that tells about the change. Because salvation makes a change in us. We're not the same. Can you read the next verses?
Okay. 2 Corinthians 7 and 11. But behold, that selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did not.
So you see how that when you are godly sorrow, it makes a change in you. You want to fix things. I think about Nicodemus. No, was it Nicodemus? No, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, when he came down out of that tree, Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus, I must abide at your house. He said, he came down with a penitent heart. And he said, Lord, anything I've done, if I've taken anything, I will restore it fourfold. Salvation makes a change. You're not going to be satisfied. The things that maybe you took something, or maybe you said something wrong, or whatever, you start fixing it. It says, what? Clearing of yourself. That's what salvation gives you. But you must be godly sorry to get true salvation. And once you do it, it's going to make a difference in you. You're not going to just sweep things under the rug and hide things that maybe you know good and well you did, but you're hiding it. No, you're gonna want to clear it up. Let's go now to Colossians 3:5-10.
Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which were upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Let not one lie to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge and the image of him that created him.
Okay, so you see, the old man, you're gonna put off the things that you used to do, lying or whatever, you're gonna be honest. It makes a difference. That's why salvation is such a perfect gift, because it changes you. You're not the same anymore. You are a new creature. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if you get that, please. You're not the old man. You're putting those things away. One of the things that said, put away anger. I remember one time I was having a conversation with some people, and they were trying to justify anger. They said, well, the scriptures say, anger and sin not. But this scripture says, put it away. We're not justified. It's no need to make an excuse for anger. When we feel that, we need to get rid of it. We need to ask God to help us. We need to put it off. The old man just gave in to anger. If he was angry, something made him angry and upset, you'll know about it. He's gonna say something or do something about it. But when we get saved, we don't do that. So put those things aside. Don't hide behind the scripture that says anger and sin not. Yes, if you have anger and you don't sin, that's good to that point. But it's better and a more perfect way if you put off anger. Did you get 2 Corinthians 5 and 17?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
So you see what this salvation brings us? It brings newness. It brings happiness. It brings peace. It brings joy. That's what it is. That's why it's perfect. Because it blesses us in this life. And then in the life to come, we have eternal life. Ephesians 4. 22 to 32.
That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created, is righteousness in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Do you see how we have to not participate in this? And it's not just anger, bitterness, wrath, and clamor. Clamor, from my understanding, is like arguing. God is not in that. We can put all of that away because we don't have to do it because of his great salvation. In 32.
And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
So, we have something different. from that old life of anger and bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking and lying and cheating and all of that. Salvation takes all the ugly things, that people participate in away, and he gives us something beautiful, which is kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiving. All of this is beauty that God wants us to have. So salvation is beautiful. That song says salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. We have two more scriptures. Colossians 3, 14 to 17.
Colossians 3 and 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Do you see what a beautiful life salvation is? It makes you holy. It makes you happy. It makes you at peace and joy. So what you have in the place of all the other, you can sing, and you sing from the depths of your heart. You know, we don't really have to wait till we get to church to sing. It's good to have a song in our heart. This scripture says, singing to yourselves and admonishing one another. See, something and admonishing one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. These songs are a blessing to us. It goes right along with this great gift of salvation. The last scripture is Romans 14, 17 to 19.
Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another.
Thank the Lord. So you see what a beautiful, what a perfect gift we have of salvation. And it just turns our life around. It changes our life from darkness unto light, from sadness to joy and peace. We can have joy even in the midst of adversity, and in the midst of trying times, and even when there's grief, God still gives us peace, and he still gives us joy because of salvation. Pray for me.